All right, from Studio Live in the beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef and your host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. We'd like to thank you for joining us again as we explore food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
On this episode, we're getting into a favorite, talk about cake bread and all the wonderful treats that are coming out of that place.
So tonight we're joined by Ian Harris and Jordan Marshall of Hot Chocolate / Cake Bread / maybe that's where we can start. You can give us a little bit of an overview of what that is, what the relationship is between hot chocolates and cake bread.
It's the same business, same structure.
Okay.
It was felt on its creation 11 years ago that it needed its own identity. The name was lovingly borrowed from a fine wine in California.
Oh, yeah?
The feel, it has done nothing but make for a challenge as far as packaging and the rest of it goes when you put the two of them side by side, because hot chocolates has always been red and cake bread is a corally pink.
Right.
But it felt like a color that might throw back to grandma.
Oh, yeah.
Something that would give you a feeling of a time back. And one of the ways that we've always described the baking is it's baking you want to serve to your family.
And how does Ian come into play in cake bread then?
Well, I joined in about 4.5 years ago. And basically, Jordan hired me to run the bakery.
Right.
And it's been a heck of a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great place to work. Awesome people.
Yeah.
And that's the heart of cake bread. Good quality products and great staff who all care about what they're doing.
Fantastic.
And it just makes it a wonderful place to work.
Yeah, and for those, I mean, I don't think I've made it clear yet, or just for those that are listening that aren't familiar, cake bread is more or less the baked goods offshoot of hot chocolates.
We get asked and all sorts of questions, why? And as I say, we're 11 years into it now. It has its own identity, but so often it's described as the bakery within hot chocolates.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It just happens.
Why do we keep pushing this rock up the hill? Well, because we're 11 years in, we're 10 years in, we're 9 years in, we're going to keep doing
it. We're committed.
Right.
Yeah. It has a personality of its own. It has Ian's personality these days. He coaches the team, and they create all those beautiful products on that side of the business. It is completely separate in terms of its production space.
Right.
And we're quite confident as much as you can be. If someone has a very significant challenge with flour, that's not necessarily going to be their kind of a place. Mm-hmm. We do some no-gluten added products, but we have different air handling systems for the store, for the bakery production, for the chocolate production.
Different floors.
Yeah,
right.
And different floors. Yeah.
Actually, that's an interesting comment you say that with, because a lot of people are developing or realizing they have a gluten allergy. And mm-hmm. so to have a chocolate shop right next to mm-hmm. bread is kind of an interesting, but yeah, you guys are definitely distinct. And I actually even say when I go in there, there's a definite feel of that this side is cake bread, this mm-hmm. side is hot chocolate. So,
right.
Yeah, cake bread kind of has developed its own. It's from the people who work there. Everyone kind of adds a little bit to it.
Right.
So you have some people who are like really dough heads and really like bread,
yeah.
right? And the gluten structure and the crumb, you know,
right.
and everything about it. And so they'll really focus on that aspect. And some people just love cakes, love making cakes look pretty and beautiful
right.
and decorating the whole heck of them. Some people like them classic style, some people a little more modern.
Right.
Some people just bored and want to spin things up a bunch, right? And do something totally different. And so we try to maintain our values
right.
of, you know, solid product, good ingredients, you know, and have a core set of cakes. And then other things we try to evolve and go seasonally, change things up, keep it exciting. So when you come into that showcase, you walk into that store, it's, oh, hey, I haven't seen that before. Hmm.
It's true. I must admit, personally, I wasn't a big chocolate fan for a good decade and a half. I overdid it in my teen years, and I lost my taste for chocolate. I only found it again in the last few years. But so I rarely would come into hot chocolates. I only came in there for gifts, to buy other people gifts. But as soon as cake bread sort of took on that extra space and there was a place to sit down, have a piece of carrot cake or what have you, I've started coming in much more frequently. Like that brought me in. That was the draw there, was the fact that you can actually go in and enjoy the treats now.
Oh, what a great place to sit down and, you know,
yeah.
look at a chocolate. Oh, darn.
That's pretty rough some days.
Yeah, it's hard. It's so hard.
I guess it's a good sell because you guys do some fabulous little sandwiches as well. So you can come in and have a sandwich and then.
We got a really great cook who does wonderful sandwiches on fresh bread we made that morning. Yeah. You know, and we're just making lots of sandwiches and want people to come in, grab something if they're on the run, quickly grab a sandwich, grab a cup of coffee. And then if they have time, hey, there's a whole chocolate shop to buy stuff in. They're great.
Do you find that you get like a lot of the downtown lunch crowd popping in to grab a sandwich or
quite a bit? Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's fantastic.
We sell out most days.
That's great.
Yeah, and so we just try and up the numbers and keep the numbers
right.
You know, just so you have just enough left over at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, let's talk a bit about your breads because what makes your breads so distinct?
Well, it's the people who put the effort into making the bread, right? It's paying attention to your dough temperatures. Working it, making sure the recipe is followed properly, but then also adjusting it. When it gets hot out, it affects the bread. When it's cold out, it affects the bread. You know, if it's a Tuesday, for some reason, it affects the bread. You know, so you have to take all this into account, you know, into consideration, and you really just have to focus on it. So for us, we, you know, precise mixing times. There's a difference between whole wheat grains and intensive mixing, and then white breads, you know, no whole wheat or anything in them, and a slower, longer mix for developing flavor and gluten content. It actually makes a difference. You can't mix them the same way.
Right.
So it's paying attention to the little details like that, a long, slow 1 to 2 day fermentation time, you know, just slowing the bread down, let it ferment, let the gluten strands soften, and really, you know, as long as it's developed right, really get that nice tender and they develop all that flavor and just, you know, and then bake it on a great stone oven fresh in every morning.
Right.
Yeah. So around the brick, it goes in on a peel, comes out, you know, and then, you know, sometimes we say, oh, sorry, it's too early. We can't cut it because it's still warm because it's that fresh, you know, no preservatives, you know, we do everything by hand. Trust me. I know.
I'm feeling it just by you describing the whole actions that you take to produce the bread. So
I absolutely love it. When you put, when you're baking bread and then you're using the big peel, you're throwing it in. And then when it comes out, and the smell of it, you know, and you can look and you get that nice caramelization on the outside and you put it down there and you listen to the crackle of the bread windowing just a little bit. And it just sounds like music. It's just, you hear all these bread crackles and stuff and it's just, it sounds great and it smells great. And then when you're shaping, you can just feel it, right? You can put all your effort into it. And if you're, you know, too stressful, or you're too angry that day and you know, start tearing the gluten, it's like, oh, the bread, it'll tell you.
You'll learn.
Right.
Yeah, you'll learn quick.
Wow.
So where did you get your training in this?
I went to Malaspina, so VIU, a long time ago, and then went to the Banff Springs because I said, I don't want to be a cook. I want to be a baker. Sorry. I know you won't hear that. Anyway, so I wanted a pastry chef apprenticeship, and so they said, Banff Springs, we'll send you up there. So I went up there, did a terrible prep cook job because I had no baker's positions. And then after that, a baker's position eventually opened up, and then ever since then, I've been a baker.
In a previous segment, I recall hearing, as well as you, Jonathan, saying to your audience, we like feedback. If people are passionate about a darker roast, a darker bake, you need to hear that. You're not necessarily going to risk it and put it on the shelf if people aren't enthusiastic. So we do want to hear that feedback.
Right.
I like a bit of tooth.
And a little bit of tooth.
I get to the city and I get to try different breads, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind if we did a little darker sometimes, but we want to hear what people have to say.
For sure.
Well, and I think I hate to bring this up, but there's a group that are convinced that Wonder Bread is, and I hate to single that one bread out, there is a staple.
I don't think that's really the clientele.
No, right? Exactly. But
maybe they love chocolate or maybe they want a pie or something else. But, you know, if they don't care about that, that's fine. Okay, yeah. They have the right. But, you know, for us, people who care about good bread and what you're putting into you, you know, because flour, salt, yeast, and water.
Right.
You know, and then it's wild yeast if it's a sourdough.
Right.
You know, that's it.
It's finding those flavors. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I was getting at from this, is that a lot of people haven't been introduced to this.
Right. That sort of group, that they have only had store-bought breads their whole life. They don't really sort of branch out into artisan breads.
Such a difference. Just right. I love huge difference. Our farmer's multigrain toast on a Saturday morning with a little bit of peanut butter on it. That's my that's my staple on the weekend. Nice. Right? And it's wonderful. You know, and then the sandwiches on fresh bread, you try that versus Wonder Bread, bring it on.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned Greg and Christine over at the Butcher Block being sponsors.
Yes.
And the extra little trip that it takes people to support them and get what they want from their shop, it's the same thing that we appreciate when people take the time to come see us and fit in, you know, a bread stop or a pastry stop, mm-hmm. As opposed to just picking it up at the grocery store. So mm-hmm. it is much appreciated when people value enough that they will take those extra few minutes. And it's a balance that we try and make sure we have product on the shelf so that there's no disappointment, but we do also we're also happy to set things aside with a phone call or a standing order so that a person's not disappointed. And there's folks that come up from Qualicum, down from Camel River, from Quadra Island, and they do phone ahead to make sure that
there's going to be
going to be there for them. And a couple days notice is a nice thing.
Yeah. I do. I still have involvement in doing some sort of, I don't know how else to phrase them other than I would call them caterings, although sure. They're not traditional caterings. But the same thing. I mean, I can, if I forget to put in a bread order somewhere, I'm at the mercy of what everybody's got on their shelf. And it's usually the big box stores that'll have the volume that I'm looking for. But same thing. Like when you can call two or three days ahead for a baker, that means everything, right? Because now you can guarantee you can accommodate that order, whereas otherwise,
well, when it takes 24 to 48 hours to make a loaf,
right?
You come in, you know, oh, I need 10 loaves or something. Well, it's just, sorry, it takes time, but you call ahead, we can guarantee you have it, you know, every time. It's happy to.
Perfect.
How many loaves of bread do you think you're cooking a day?
Right now, about 200.
My goodness,
close to that, yeah.
That's fantastic.
But that's with, you know, baguettes and all the sort of thing. Christmas is a different story.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I don't like to say the Christmas word this early in the year. But, you know, that's close, you know, 700-ish. And my still goodness. One night's crazy. One same oven. It's just a long, long night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we anointing Christmas cakes yet?
No, Christmas cakes, they start after wedding season. Wedding season's still in full bloom right now.
Right.
Wedding season stops September 6th, 17th.
Right.
Second weekend in September. Then we slow down because that's just when our bookings slow down. Then it's round of Christmas cakes, and we're over 100 now
right.
for Christmas yeah. cakes.
I make the trips to pick up the spirits to lift
many
them
many trips.
Or light your way home with those things.
Yeah.
Well, I find it very interesting with the whole business is how you guys are always, like you were saying with the chocolates, you're on Halloween right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always that many, you know, holidays ahead of the season
steps
and sort
ahead.
Of steps ahead just to keep up with the demand.
Very
of
different than what we do at, say, Atlas, where it's very much in the moment. You're ordering for the day and that's like,
yeah
you got to reflect what's going on today, whereas you're doing things, getting geared up for months in advance.
Yeah, we try to know in the bakery, you know, a few weeks in advance what exactly we're doing. But we have a lot of, you know, pumpkin pie.
Right.
You know when that's coming. You know when Christmas cakes are coming and, you know, certain things that makes it easier, but.
Wow. If there's something like, if there's one aspect of, say, cake bread right now that you wish more people knew about that they just don't seem to know, do you have anything? Can you sum it up in one thing, or is there more than one thing? Or do you feel that everybody knows what's going on?
No, organic is always. All the flour has always been organic in the bread.
Oh, that's and interesting.
It's a difficult message to give people. We call the baguette is organic, but sometimes we're not able to source every single ingredient.
Right.
And so mostly kind of sort of organic doesn't fly, but the flour has always been organic in all of the bread.
Well, being that the flour is usually the central ingredient, yeah, like that's significant. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be an important message.
Yeah.
And hope that, like I said earlier, that this is food that you want to serve to your family, your friends, your family. And so that should let people know that it tastes good for a reason, and it's got that extra extra good for you, extra good for the environment.
Right. Fantastic.
Well, I have to admit that on my days off, I find myself traveling in there and grabbing sandwiches from you guys, or someone picks up sandwiches and we have this sandwiches at our place from you guys, and it's quick, easy. We're usually in and out in a few minutes, and and have a lovely sandwich outside, or
that's great to
walking
hear.
Around
that's
the community. Compliment. So, and so, yeah, just having that. And the other thing is your cakes, which we haven't got into at all about, yeah. We've been talking about bread solely. They always show up at my house for my birthday with candles on it. So would you love to describe about some of the cakes? Like, you do a wide variety. And
well, we have our staples of our carrot cake, our no gluten added chocolate truffle cake. No, we don't put any flour into the actual recipe or anything like that, but there is flour in the air, so there's chance contamination, but we wash everything to, you know, do our absolute best. But there's realistic, you know. Our Belgian chocolate fudge cake, it is rich, dark, dense. Chocolate, dense cake.
Wow.
Straight up. yeah, no messing around with that one. Our New York cheesecake, you know, it's always there, delicious. And then we also try to mix it up and do some other ones, as well as a different type of New York. Right now we have a white chocolate ganache on a raspberry. We do lime ones in New Year's.
Yeah, the lime one.
We do them right after New Year when everyone's all sick of this, you know, super savory stuff. You do something tangy, just have, you know, we saw lots of those.
Once you mentioned the lime one, that's all I cared about.
Yeah. Or lemon meringue.
Lemon meringue.
Or lemon meringue. Mousse cake. Oh, my goodness. I see. Yeah. The girls who decorate them, they do so many of those every day, and they do such a great job of it. It's basically just a mousse cake with a really great meringue on it, and we just, yeah, they're so great every time of year. My parents are always bugging me whenever I have to go see them. I have to bring a lemon meringue mousse cake. So
that's great.
In your sample bag there, Darren and Jonathan, is the pavé. It's just simple ingredients, but the little chocolate servings on top, milk chocolate, Ian?
Yeah, milk chocolate mousse on top of like a really rich French style chocolate mousse.
Oh, delicious.
So it's got like egg yolk and everything like cooked in it.
You brought us cake?
It's a
mousse cake.
Right,
fantastic.
For about two people, or one if you, you know.
If John gets to it first, it's for one.
Sorry, Darren. Well, it's been great talking with you. Have you got plans for the future, or just keeping up with as many loaves of bread and cake as you could possibly do?
There's always renewal, and there's ways to invest, and we're always challenging ourselves, is that space that we've got committed, is it doing much for us?
Right.
But he and I have lots of conversations about what should we do, how should we grow it? Mm-hmm. You mentioned the chef in the back with the sandwiches, and he likes to rev up, and he's got an amazing palate.
He did carrot fritter and cardamom sandwiches the other day.
What?
Yeah. Wow. With turkey and, they're delicious.
Fantastic.
He had them. They're sold out in 10 minutes. It was just crazy.
And when does he put them up?
Well, he does it new things every week, so it's just hard keeping up with them.
All right.
Yeah.
A shout out to Bill.
Yeah.
Nice.
Perfect. And before we wrap things up completely, we talked, I think, a couple of times about how beneficial it is if people give you a call to either order their bread ahead of time or to put in an order for a cake. Maybe we can give them the number?
Yeah, sure.
250-338-8211. Same number for chocolate.
Perfect.
It isn't with all apologies. We are looking at ways to streamline so that maybe we can leap into the 21st century and have something that a person can order off their device. But all these modules of software and you know, tap payment and streamlining things for folks, we're working on those at the same time as all the other ideas that float through our heads. So we just really appreciate that a lot of folks want to call in at certain times. We want to try and get all those calls picked up and get all those orders. You know, people will leave messages. We can work with that as well. But persist and call back if you want to make sure that sandwich or that loaf of bread is there.
A great way also is this baker@cakebread.ca.
Yeah.
That goes right to me, and I deal with tons of emails every day for whether it's a bread order or a custom cake or this.
Great.
It's just when people see a Pinterest cake and want this big, beautiful cake, and then it's like, whoa, how much labor is that? How much time is that going to take? You know, realistic expectations on it. But I'm always happy to do custom cakes, do custom orders.
Fantastic.
Know, lots of bread. Sure, no problem. Give us some notice.
You got it.
Send me an email. Always respond.
Great. Okay, perfect.
I know we did miss one thing.
Oh, what's that?
And you have a large selection of olive oils and vinegars at the front of your stores or store.
Yeah.
One store.
Organic oils as well as extra virgin olive oils, white balsamic and dark balsamic. flavored, not flavored, different ages or different viscosities, and wow, they pair so beautifully with the bread. There's always sampling available. People are free to come in and try different things. Gosh, a couple dozen between the oil and the vinegar easily.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That's always one of my favorite things, is just oil and bread are such a beautiful connection, right?
So. Yeah.
And a pretty awesome gift as well.
Ian, I see you have something you want to add.
You got to add something here.
Well, I'm supposed, yeah, we also have a whole ton of croissants, sausage rolls.
Sausage. Others.
Sausage.
Yeah. Right. But our, you know, we sell so many cookies a day.
Right.
Okay. Cookies, another small fare with your coffee. But yeah, croissants. We're selling, oh, I don't know, over 100 a day.
Butter croissants.
Yeah, wow.
All butter, you know, all real butter croissants. So many.
I mean, I thought I knew the lay of the land. I was actually in Hot Chocolates, I want to say, probably about 10 days ago. I had to pick up some stuff for my daughter because it was one of those days where I felt like I needed to give her some chocolate. And, but yeah, I mean, I sort of did a brisk walk around, but it was pretty crowded. So I'm like, I'm just going to get what I'm here for and head out. But I'll definitely have to come back in and give it a little more of a deeper look. Sounds like I'm overlooking quite a few things here.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming on and talking with us today.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks. And thanks for listening to the Edible Valley podcast.
Yes, we would love to have any feedback or comments you have about this show. If you could give us an email at our ediblevalley@gmail.com. Of course, check us out on all our sites. Definitely on our Podbean site, we're the ediblevalley.com, where you can check us out, as we're on all the other major podcasting sites with iTunes, Google Play, Stitchers. The All list the goes others. On. Everyone I can get us on. So we're just trying to spread the message of our Edible Valley and get you out there to sort of sample some of the wonderful food that you can find in your own community.
Great. And I'd like to say a quick thank you to all our sponsors before we wrap this up, who make this show happen, like Butcher's Block in downtown Courtney, Studio Live here where we're recording, Kirsten Wood Music for her support, as well as Beaufort Traditional Archery, Ivan's Truffles, Atlas Cafe.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley podcast.